As was announced, scripture reading will be coming from Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Again, that's Romans 6, 17 and 18. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
Good to be with everyone here tonight. I have a singular exhortation for tonight, and that simply is, be thankful. We serve a God who is good in every way. I think all of us tonight could testify to the fact that we have been richly blessed by God. He has done wonderful things for all of us, but nothing greater, of course, than the giving of His Son, Jesus. But, of course, that's not the end of His goodness. He has blessed us with His providential care, so that we have all that we need. He provides for us greatly, and we need to be thankful. One of the things that God dislikes is ingratitude. And you might remember in Romans chapter 1, as Paul is in the context showing that we are all under sin, he begins, of course, with the Gentiles. And in Romans chapter 1, we have one of the longest list of sins that we have in the New Testament. And he's going to turn his attention to the Jews, of course, but he begins with the Gentiles. But we can trace really what it all goes back to. That is their sinful living. And basically, it's traced back to their ingratitude. In Romans chapter 1 and at verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And everything really can be traced back to that. All these terrible sins that he goes on to list, it is all because they refused to give God the honor that He deserved, nor were they thankful for all that God had done for them. And basically, when you think about those who are living in sin and those who are not giving God the respect, the reverence that He deserves and living accordingly, it's because of a lack of gratitude. We have in Luke chapter 17 a familiar story. You remember, if you turn your Bibles over there, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, and he, on his way there, of course, passes through and by Samaria and Galilee. He's right there at that particular region, and he comes to a village where he is met by 10 lepers. And you remember that they cried out to him from afar because they were lepers, and that was their fate. They usually, leprosy, most of you know, was just a terrible, terrible disease. It was one of isolation because it was so contagious. It was a terribly painful way to die, the skin falling off. And again, you're separated from family and friends, and just a terrible situation to be in. One of the worst things that could ever happen to you is come down with the disease of leprosy. And somehow or another, these individuals know who Jesus is. At verse 13, it says they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Perhaps they had heard him preach before they became, some of them, before they became lepers. Or maybe even family members told them about Jesus. And if you ever see him walking this way, stop him and ask for his mercy, because he has the ability to heal you. Whatever it is the case, they see him and they lift up their voice and they cry out for mercy. And Jesus, being the compassionate man that he was, he stops and he pays attention to them. He says to them to go to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Of course, the priests were the ones who had to acknowledge that they were now clean and could allow them to, again, go amongst people. In Leviticus chapter 13, you can read all about the laws of leprosy. And so they begin to do that. They notice on the way, obviously, Jesus cleansed them. And so they would know immediately that they were healed. In verse 15 says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. That's the interesting thing. And it's amazing. It's clear, implied here that the others were Jews. And isn't it amazing that sometimes when you find yourself suffering, when you're in that kind of situation, you don't have time to worry about ethnicity and that sort of thing. All of these men were together, even though the Jews and the Samaritan didn't really get along. You don't think about that when you come down with leprosy. But it's this foreigner, it is the Samaritan that turns back to the Jewish Messiah and is thankful. And that wasn't lost to Jesus. But it says, again, were not there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give thanks to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. And the Greek words there can be and probably should be interpreted that you were saved. You will be saved. And so most believe that he at this time was cleansed not only of his leprosy, he was cleansed both body and souls. His sins were forgiven. But what about those 9? Were they not thankful for such being healed from such a terrible, horrific disease? They now would be able to go back and be amongst their friends and especially their family and begin living a normal life once again in society. You would think that they would be grateful, but they demonstrated no gratitude whatsoever. That's the kind of thing that we need to avoid as Christians. As we just think about our own lives and how much we have been blessed in all that God has done for us, beginning with the salvation of our souls. The truth is, we have been saved from a disease that's far greater than leprosy. Of course, I'm talking about the disease of sin. And if you turn over to Romans chapter 6, this really is what Paul in our scripture reading is referring to. As you turn over there, you might remember I just wrote a blog about this here. I think maybe it was Friday night's blog. It might have been Thursday. I can't remember. But I wrote on this particular portion of Romans. As Paul talks about this standard of teaching, or the King James, this form of doctrine is referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he speaks of that in the first part of Romans 6. And the basic principle is that we are set free at that time when we obey that form of doctrine. That is, when we die just like Jesus died. Now, the difference is Jesus died physically. We, of course, died to sin. And Jesus was buried in a literal physical tomb. We were buried in the waters of baptism. And then as Jesus was raised to walk in the newness of life, so were we. And it's at that time that we were set free from our sins. And you think about those leprosy again. How could those 9 lepers not be thankful when they think about what they had been delivered from? And the same thing could be said about us. How can we not live our lives every day in view of what God has done for us spiritually, in view of the fact that we now have salvation? How can we not be thankful every single day, regardless of what's going on in our lives? Where the things physically and outwardly are going well or not so well, whether everything's great or not so great, how can we not be thankful every day for our salvation? And so Paul, in this section, you notice at verse 17, he begins, "But thanks be to God that you were the slaves of sin and have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." But thanks be to God, he says. Are we thankful for our salvation? When's the last time you thank God specifically for your salvation? There are so many things we can just take for granted, even the salvation of our souls. We should not. We should express our thanksgiving with the fruit of our lips. We should express being thankful by the way that we live our lives from day to day. But we should be thankful for our salvation. Have you ever stopped to think about the chances of you being saved? Of all of the billions of people who have ever lived, you are a part of the remnant. You are a part of the small group of people who have been saved and are a part of God's spiritual family. The odds weren't in your favor. I think of my own salvation and how that I told you many times before, I grew up in an ungodly situation. And the chances of me continuing in that ungodliness was very high. And outside of that, I had a part of my family. Again, I've mentioned them to you from time to time. They were sort of religious. And if I didn't continue down that path of ungodliness, there, if anything, you would think would happen, maybe I would go and be influenced by them and be a part of some denominational church even today. I like to say, if I went down that path, if that's what happened, that maybe I would have taught myself out of that situation. But think of the millions and millions of people who have never taught themselves out of that situation, who are what they are because they were born into that situation. And I think of the odds of the different ways my life could have been, the different directions it could have gone, I should say. And I thank God that someone came along and taught me the gospel. And to make it even more amazing, the fellow who taught me the gospel was a sinner his own self, and that doesn't hardly ever work, does it? When you stop and think about it, a sinner led a sinner to Christ. That's exactly what happened. I'm sad to say he now has passed away. And for all it appears, I'm not God, I don't exactly know, but it appears that he died unfaithfully to God. And so what's the chances of that happening? And then now think of your own story. Some of you were born into a family where your parents were Christians. That's a wonderful blessing. But think of the chances of that happening. How many Christians are even on the face of the earth? Very few, comparatively speaking. And you were born into a family. Your parents were Christians. That had nothing to do with your works. That had nothing to do with anything that you have done. It's just the situation you were born into. You can only attribute it to the providential care of God and His grace and His mercy. But think about the odds. Are you thankful for your salvation? We should all be. It is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And again, we owe it all to God and His loving heart, His goodness. And that is something that I've often talked about with regard to things that we ought to be thankful for. Turn your Bibles over to Psalms 117 just for a moment. I love this passage of Scripture. It's short, but very powerful. And Psalms 117, And we'll read this and then a little bit of Psalms 118. But Psalms 117. It says at verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And then 118, at verse 1, oh, give thanks. There it is, the exhortation to be thankful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Think about all of that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It is wonderful. We ought to be thankful for the very nature of God. Especially when we think about the power of God. He is a God who is omnipotent, a God who is omnipresent and omniscient, a God whose power is too great for us to comprehend. Aren't you glad he's a good God? Think about our main enemy, the devil. He is a powerful adversary and he can wreak havoc in all of our lives, and he has, but not even he is all powerful. Like of all the damage he can do it even though he's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient, and he is still just a great adversary. Can you only imagine what it would be like if God wasn't good? Or even if he was only good part-time. Like how much damage do you think God could do if he had a bad day and he wasn't completely good? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He's good every day. He's good all the time. We don't have to worry about that. He goes on to say that we ought to give thanks to God, for his steadfast love endures forever. Aren't you glad? You can be sure God will love you tomorrow just like he does today, because his love is steadfast. When's the last time you thank God in prayer just for that? That his love endures forever. No matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what next week, next month, next year brings, if we're still alive and the earth is still standing, we know that God will love us. And the psalmist says, give thanks for that. We ought to give thanks to the fact that we serve a God who is willing to help us. He listens to us when we pray. Like, that's an amazing fact all in itself, that the God who is the supreme being, who created the heavens and the earth, the one that we've been describing as being all-powerful, he stops and listens to you when you pray. I remember in John, the 11th chapter, when Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead. You remember what Jesus himself said, John chapter 11 and at verse 41, Jesus said, so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And he goes on to say, I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. But here's Jesus himself speaking to his Father. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. If Jesus was thankful that God heard his prayer, shouldn't we be thankful? And when's the last time again that you, in prayer, maybe you pray often, and when you pray, when's the last time you opened up your prayer just by thanking God for listening to you? That you have the ability to pray and you know that he will hear. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. We have talked many times about the power of prayer, and we should, and we ought to preach many more sermons about that. But we ought to be thankful for what a wonderful blessing that is. Are you thankful? And the list goes on of things the New Testament tells us about, that things we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for one another. We ought to be thankful for the body of Christ and the peace that we can help one another enjoy in Christ. Notice, if you would, in the book of Colossians, I believe it is. Turn over to the Colossians and at chapter 3. Beginning at verse 12, Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 12, Paul said, put on then as God's chosen ones. And there's a blessing to be thankful for right there. That's us, the elect in Christ. Of all the people on the earth, we're God's chosen ones. So he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. You've been called into one body. You have peace. The peace, Paul says in Philippians 4, that passeth all understanding. And you have brothers and sisters in Christ who make up this body. Who can help you and have compassion towards you. And we ought to have compassion towards one another. But as Paul thinks about the body of Christ and the peace that exists in there, he closes that verse simply by saying, and be thankful. When's the last time you thank God for the Brown Street Church of Christ? And that you are a member of a body filled with Christians of like precious faith that can help you and encourage you, lift you up when you're down, and sometimes even rebuke you when you need that, help you to stay on the right track. When's the last time that we stopped and thanked God just for the peace that we have here as a local congregation at Brown Street? Paul simply concluded it, be thankful. And again, just you can get out of concordance yourself and look up the word thankful and how many times it appears and how many times we are exhorted, be thankful. The one thing God doesn't appreciate is ingratitude. Paul said the wrath of God would be revealed against the Gentiles there because they didn't give thanks to God. They didn't honor Him. Let's be thankful. We are blessed richly so, physically, in this country especially, but spiritually for sure. We have all been blessed. Let's be thankful. This next week coming up, the week beginning today, make sure you live your life with gratitude, with thanksgiving, and express it to God. And show it by your living that you are thankful for all that God does for you. We can all do a little better in that area. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You have an opportunity tonight. By God's mercy and grace, you can become a child of God. And that is a wonderful demonstration of God's love. 1 John 3 and at verse 1. He's willing to adopt you into His spiritual family. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus and be baptized, Mark 16, and at verse 16, your sins will be washed away. You'll become a new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away. All things will be made new. And you'll be a part again of the family of God. You can do that right here in just the next few minutes. All you have to do is respond. You have to respond. God has done His part. You need to do yours. You're subject to the invitation. Come forward as we together stand and sing.